What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Fan World. I'm your host, Lucid Dreams, and today's show is going to be a little different. Today, I'm doing a Q&A. Hope you enjoy. All right, welcome to the very first Q&A episode of Fan World. I posted some questions on forum to do this Q&A to take advantage of my 2x media, and you guys did not disappoint me. Now, if you ask me multiple questions, they may not all appear in a row, as I did separate the questions. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right on in. The first question was from Jimmy64. He asked me, what was draft day like for me? For me, draft day was exciting. I couldn't wait to actually get it going. By the time it rolled around, I think I was, I don't want to say over the process, but I was definitely ready for it to happen. Going through and, you know, getting scouted during the DSFL season. And then by the time the season had ended, I'd basically been scouted by all the teams already. So leading up to that, it was just, the anticipation was starting to kill me. So draft day couldn't have come soon enough. That wait was absolutely terrible. The next question was from Xavier Hawkins, my new teammate in London, and he asked, what was the draft like for me? Which was very similar to Jimmy's question, so I'm going to answer this a little bit differently. For Jimmy, I answered what the draft was for me, the ISFL draft, so I'm going to answer Xavier's question by discussing what this last DSFL draft was like for me. For the DSFL draft, it was awesome to be a part of the war room. It was what I joined the league to do. I was very excited when I finally was able to get into London's war room. But going through the draft, you happen to fall in love with some of the prospects you meet. Like, you have people that you talk to that you're, you know, you just hope you get the chance to bring to your team. And unfortunately, at least for me, there was so many prospects that I had talked to through the draft process that I was hoping to be able to bring to London. And, you know, you can't bring everybody. So I guess it was a fun experience to be a part of, for sure. Definitely a little disappointing to have to, you know, miss out on some of these personalities that you'd like to bring in. But like I said before, you can't draft everybody. So the next question also came from Xavier Hawkins. He asked, in your draft, who was the best player? Well, that's easy. Me, of course. Being honest, I do consider myself to be one of the top players in my class, but there's more than just me that sit up there. Now, I apologize because there are players that are on teams that I don't associate with, and I just haven't gotten a chance to know you, so if you are one of those players, I do apologize for leaving you out. But if I had to pick another player right off the top of my head, I'd go with Suggs. Suggs, I think, you know, both me and Suggs were nominated for most dedicated member last season. He's just like I am. He's come in. He's extremely active. He's gotten involved in every aspect he can. Some of the media that he puts out is absolutely fantastic. He's active in the DSFL server, helping these new prospects that come in. So, yeah, I'd say me or Suggs are going to be the two players at the top of the list there. But I'm always going to say that it's going to be me. But if I did have to mention another name too, I'd like to throw Boom out there. He's basically a max earner throughout the league. And the graphics that he puts out are unbelievable. So to not bring him up would be, I just think it would be wrong to him. Because when you have somebody that's pumping out such a high quality product, you can't leave him off the list. Well, I know I said that I had separated some of these questions, but it looks like Xavier's all kind of played in a row here. The next question is also from Xavier. The season 29 draft class, who do you think will be the best player in the draft class? I'm going to go ahead and say that he's talking about the season 29 DSFL draft, which would be the season 30 draft class. So I guess right off the top, I'm going to mention Xavier Hawkins. He's come in. He's been extremely active in the locker room. He's put out some great media. His Netflix series is very entertaining. It's even influenced other members of the locker room to, you know, start doing one. It's also definitely hard to overlook somebody like MM Flex, or he was in our locker room with us last season to win the Ultimini. He's incredibly active. He does some awesome media pieces. He plays into the character role perfectly in the locker room. Then you have Krasko, who we had the privilege of having in the locker room prior to the draft. He's another one that's just incredibly active that, I don't know, I just think he's a name that's going to be well associated with this draft class. And then you have, I would say a name that everybody has probably recognized by this point is Dolphins. He's made himself incredibly known across the league, whether that be tagging people or posting his media in just about every locker room that he belongs to and trying to make sure everybody is involved in what he's posting. I can't think of one locker room that I've been in where I've not seen him promoting himself, which I know I'm saying it here kind of jokingly, but it is, you know, both a good and a bad thing. You're either going to have people that love you or you're going to have people that don't. But he's getting his name out there, and I guarantee when the ISFL draft rolls around this next season, you're going to hear his name called very early because somebody is going to absolutely fall in love with this personality. So the next player I would mention is Parm. He's come in as the starting quarterback for London. I know this list has a lot of London players on it, but these are the rookies that I've had a chance to deal with personally. Parm's come in as a quarterback. He's been a pretty good earner, and he seems to be dedicated to improving his player and trying to lead the team in a way a quarterback should. So if he stays on that path, I see no reason why Parm wouldn't be another player who is consistently mentioned at the top of this draft class. Season 29 draft, which DSFL team had the best draft? So once again, I'm going to say he's talking about the season 29 DSFL draft. So the season 30 class of players, which that's absolutely easy. That was London, no debate. Sorry to anybody else who happens to be listening, but London is a team that had the best draft. We were able to pick up, impressive talent and active personalities in the locker room. So I'm looking forward to seeing what these guys can accomplish. Between Parm in the first round and then Dolphins and Xavier Hawkins, I think those three have been incredibly active in the locker room, and the sort of back and forth that Xavier and Dolphins have, I think, is going to be fun to watch grow, as well as the connection from quarterback to wide receiver with Parm and Dolphins. So London's had a great draft, and I'm looking forward to seeing how these guys develop. The next question comes from Wildfire Micro. He asks, how excited are you to be in Philly? I couldn't be happier to be in Philly. Philly was my number one spot in the draft. It's where I wanted to go. Coming in, I'd had some really good talk with, the scouts at Oko. And I've, in the DSFL, had a relationship with Greg and Shrub. So coming in, I was, you know, hoping that Oko might want to take a flyer on me and snag me in the first round. But outside of that, the relationship that I had built in Philadelphia was fantastic. I didn't really know anybody in the locker room when I got there, which is, you know, what I had drawn me to hoping that Oko was going to draft me initially. But after getting there and realizing, you know, I had just done a podcast with Titan, had great conversations with Pat, and then the Jimmy Joey combo, they just make you feel welcome right away. Like, you come in there and I think one of the first people to talk to me was Joey right away, and it's like, okay, You know, after just spending 5 minutes in the locker room, it's really hard to, to not feel like that's a place that you want to be. So immediately after joining the Philadelphia locker room, it was like, this is where I want to be. I'd had experience with Wildfire Micro, the one who asked me the question. He was the person who scouted me initially for London, and also one of the first people that scouted me for Philly. So to be there with him, and then, like I said, after having that podcast with Titan, we seemed to get along pretty well, so we were able to keep talking and kind of push that London-Portland rivalry a little bit. And then Jimmy and Joey, it was a place that immediately just grabbed me in. So after spending 5 minutes in that locker room, Philadelphia became my favorite place in the ISFL, and I was really hoping that the draft would go the way it did, and I was absolutely excited when they called me at number 4. So, like I said, I just could not be happier. So Boom asked me, how has it been so far as a Liberty rookie? Oh, Liberty's awesome. Being part of the Liberty is awesome. As I said in the last question from Wildfire Micro, the teammates and the people that I've met in the locker room are fantastic. The conversations that I've gotten to have with some people just on a personal level, or playing around in the recipe talk channel that they have, either talking about different recipes or getting with Pat on trying different beers. I'm not a person that really drinks a whole lot of, I don't want to say drinks a whole lot of beer. I just enjoy, trying different things because there are some flavors that I really enjoy tasting. So being able to talk to Pat and just kind of have him recommend some things, the first couple things that he's recommended to me have all been fantastic. So I'm looking forward to keeping that going. And just talking with everybody about different cooking recipes. I love to cook. I grew up, cooking in the kitchen with my grandparents. So I don't know. It's just an awesome place to be. So I'm really, I'm really happy to be a part of Philadelphia. Joey asked me, what do I think Philly's record will be? Well, just for you, Joey, I know it's no longer possible, but I'm going to say 19-0. At this point, Philly's sitting at 2-2. But just for Joey, I had to say 19-0. Realistically, I think Philly's going to finish probably around 9-7. I think a lot of people are sleeping on them this year. There's a lot of talent on that team and a lot of young talent that is going to continue to develop, and I think Philadelphia is going to start becoming one of those teams that you have to look out for making an Ultimus run here very shortly. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on the team now, well, because I was drafted by the team, but I look at the talent that's there, some of the defense that they've brought up with Titan and Ace, and just some of the players that are already there, and then you have on offense, Negs, who is not even to his best part of his playing time yet. I think he's still got another season or so before he really gets into that zone, and that'll be about the time I think everybody hits their prime for that team. So it's going to be really exciting to be a part of that. The next question came to me from Boom. He asked me, what was my opinion on the preseason results? Of course, that's disappointing to lose every game in the preseason, especially after having such a good season my first time around. It's very disappointing. But, I mean, it's kind of to be expected. I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses, but we literally had our entire offense, basically, with the exception of Boom, I believe, get called up. So at this point, it's, getting these rookies acclimated to the playing time, to the point task, to the updating, and just getting rolling. I don't think it's going to be a bad season overall for us. I think that's just kind of to be expected when you have, new players stepping in at the positions that haven't had as many updates under their belt yet. And then, in the preseason, it doesn't seem like people spend a lot of time focusing on strats and sim tests and things like that for the preseason. So we'll see what happens when the real games get rolling. like I said, I'm not giving up on us yet, by any means. I think no matter what happens, it's going to be a fun season. And London's got a good locker room going, even after the call-ups from this last year and this next season. So the next question comes to me from Jimmy64. He said, what are my expectations for London this season? Like I said, I still think that we're going to be playoff contenders. I know a lot of people may laugh at that, being as, you know, like I said, our whole offense has been completely overhauled, but we have a culture there that, you know, a lot of, I know it's not just to the London locker room. A lot of teams have it, but we like to, I guess, just encourage our, you know, players to be as active as possible. And we've got the key pieces of our offense are all active in the locker room. So like I said, just getting some updates under the belt and getting that TPE up will do a lot. So by the season's end, I think London will be in the mix for a playoff spot. And then once we get to the playoffs, really anything can happen. It's, you know, a one-game series. So if we get there, then that's bad for everybody else. Joey asked me, what do I project London's record will be this season? I'd say probably 8-6. I think, you know, it's going to be rough in the beginning. I think we're going to have a little bit of up and down to start the season off. But by the end of it, I think we'll be 8-6. Chance to go 9-5 and be in the mix for a playoff spot. So, Wildfire Micro asked me, how do I think my season will play out? I guess for, I'm going to take this as, I guess, a team question or a player question. I think we have a good chance to make the playoffs. We are not the only team that's rebuilding. We're not the only team that had to reload on offense. And if we make the playoffs, we have a fantastic chance to chase the ultimate. You know, that's the ultimate goal. So just taking a look, there's a couple teams that look really strong with what I've seen so far this season. We're one game in to the DSFL season, and I know you can't judge everything just off the one game, but from what I've seen, there's a few teams that look pretty strong. But if we're in the playoffs by the end of the season, then I'm not worried about where anybody else stands, because I know it can happen. It's one game. One game leads to another game, and you just take it one game at a time, and, you know, there's anything can happen with this sim. So, and for me personally, for this season, I just want to put up big numbers. I'm the, I guess, the main man on the defensive line. Well, I can't say main. I got Will Smith still with me, but I'm no longer sharing the edge with Pibb. So I want to step up and fill the void that's going to be left by, you know, one of the best defensive ends in the DSFL. So I want to put up big numbers, and I want to be a key reason why that defense is clutch and shut down. So Joey asked me, what are my expectations for Dreams this season? You know, I kind of mentioned that before, you know, with how my season's going to play out. I'd like to put up the big numbers and fill the void that was left behind by Pibb, and I'm hoping that I can do that. I want to continue with my, you know, off the field. I want to continue with my podcast and even step up the media a little bit more to give myself a chance to, I guess, improve Dreams a little bit better. Just doing the podcast alone, with the way that I do them, you know, on the interview and splitting the payout, I don't make as much money as I'd like to, so I'd like to not have to worry about the payments for the activity checks, or sorry, not the activity checks, but the weekly trainings, and not have to worry about the payments for buying equipment throughout the season, and just be able to get that out of the way, or, you know, for the equipment, and just not sweat it. So improving myself on media, doing a little bit more written pieces is what you can expect from me this season. And then hopefully from Dreams, you're going to see a lot more numbers and a defensive end performance that is one of the best in the league. Z-Wiz asked me, now that Pibb has been called up, you're the main man on the defensive line. Do you think you have what it takes? Absolutely. I'm ready to step up and, like I said, try to fill that void. Pibb was an excellent mentor. No one helped me more with getting my basic build. I know he questioned some of my decisions, but he's also, you know, jokingly messed with me saying that, you know, my one play last season was worth, you know, everything that I did there. So it's obviously sad to see somebody like Pibb go. He was a great presence in the sim, and he was an even better presence in the locker room. Anybody that spent time around London has probably had an experience with Pibb or two. So to lose somebody like that in the locker room is definitely a damper, but he's helped me set my character up or my player up in a way that I don't think, I guess he's, like I said, he's helped me set it up in a way that I think will be beneficial to the team and then beneficial for me when it comes to looking at my numbers by the end of the season. So the next question comes to me again from Jimmy64. He asked me, if I could create an expansion team, where would I put it and what would I make the mascot? You know, I came into this ready to say Australia needs a team. And then I had to grade Joey's podcast. And Joey also mentioned that Australia probably needed a team. I guess so. That being said, you know, I would have to put the... I didn't put a lot of thought into this after that, which I probably should have before hopping on to record. But if I had to pick, I'm gonna go ahead and bring one to Vegas. Vegas is always just a fun city to have a team in, because there's so many things you could do. Everybody tries to do the, you know, the outlaw or Wild West persona out here. We've gotten away from that in real life with the Vegas Golden Knights now not doing that. So, like I said, I'd put the team in Vegas, and I would probably call them, you know, something to do with gambling, like along the lines of like Lady Luck or, you know, the Lucky Strike, something like that. Something that I know those are actually partially casino names, thinking about it. But just something that plays into that kind of role out here in Vegas. So Boom asks me, do I usually record at a set time of day, or am I flexible with it? I have to be as flexible as possible. Majority of my podcasts, I'm featuring other people doing interviews. So really, one of the first questions that I ask anybody that comes onto my podcast is, what are your time zones and what days are best to record? And from there, I just try to find a time that works for my guest, where that overlaps with some availability that I have. And there's been certain guests that their time frames just don't ever match up with mine. So I've had to make special arrangements to actually have certain people on my podcast. But it's something that I enjoy doing. The podcast has become one of my favorite things about the league. I love having different people on. The guests, like I said, the guests are amazing. I love getting the different views from people, hearing the experience that they had with the league, some of the positions that they've held, whether it be general manager or just the general experiences that they've had. It's fantastic to talk to these people. So I appreciate everybody that's come on my podcast. So I try to be as flexible as possible. And that being said, Boom. I know we live in completely different time zones, but I'm still ready whenever you are, man. Let's get this one going. The next question comes to me from Crody Man. He says, what kind of mic and DAW do I use? Actually, I'm no longer using anything special. My computer is trash, and I'll say that again. My computer is absolutely trash. I can't wait to get my new one, but until that happens, I have discovered the amazing power of Anchor Mobile. With that, I don't have to use any kind of setup. I record straight on my phone, and I get a pretty good quality. that gives me the option to clip, edit, add different things, basically do everything I need to. I am, however, looking at, if I continue to use my cell phone to record, I have been eyeballing a very, very beautiful Shure microphone. It is a digital studio microphone that plugs straight into my cell phone. And like I said, if I continue to do this, that will definitely be a nice addition. I know I've told some of you I used to play in a band. So I'm a big Shure guy. That's what all my audio equipment was. And seeing that they have this studio microphone, this they call it their studio interview microphone for a cell phone, it is no doubt in my mind that the quality of that microphone is fantastic. So that's probably something that I will be purchasing here very soon. Jimmy64 asked me, what made me decide to get into podcasting? Well, I initially started my Anchor channel to talk about the FCF. The FCF is the Fan-Controlled Football League. It's something that started up this last season. It basically mixes, like, fantasy football with simulation football to a point and adds in real players. So you start out by picking your team. This last season they had four teams. They call it no fairweather fans, no bandwagon fans. So you pick your team and you basically stuck with that team. So the team starts off, they gave two franchise tags to each team. The team owner got to pick one of the players that stays with the team for the entire season. And then the users that belong to that team got to vote on the other. As well as doing the vote for the franchise tag, because this was the inaugural season, we were able to vote on the different branding, the colors, the team name, basically every aspect of the team. So I created a podcast for that because I got heavily involved, but it's, like I said, it's real players playing on the field. It's not just a, you know, like a fantasy aspect. So you're literally putting together a team that's going to play on the field that you watch on the app or on a Twitch stream. So I started the podcast to talk about that because there was some things that were starting to happen that were getting really frustrating. You know, it's supposed to be the Fan-Controlled Football League. They give you the idea that you can, you know, have the vote to do everything, but the longer the season started to go on, the more we noticed that certain votes were starting to be manipulated a little bit. Certain things were being left off to achieve the voting that obviously the owners or head office of the league wanted to happen. I don't want to get too direct with it, but it felt like the votes of the fans were starting to be overlooked. So when I got here, it was a channel I already had, and I kind of enjoyed blabbing. So I wiped it clean, called it Fan World, and decided to be a very good source of income. With it, like I said, I've really enjoyed meeting the new people. Every week, I at least get to interview one or two people, and they all have interesting, unique stories that come with league history, that come with player history, that come with experiences that I may not have heard about without asking or without having them on my podcast. So I know I've said it a bunch of times throughout this, and I'm sure I'm probably getting very repetitive, but I really enjoy the experience of having the people on the pod. So that is probably why I continue to do it. So my next question comes to me by Painted. He asked me, are there any new people that I'm looking forward or wanting to interview? Right off the top, I'm trying to get Jimmy and Joey to come on, and I want to do them as a pair, because if you've ever spent time around the Philadelphia locker room, those two together are just, they're great. Their chemistry is fantastic. They're hilarious. I got to spend some time the other night in voice chat with them, and they're fun to be around. I think having them on the podcast is going to be a blast, and I really hope it's something that we're able to get going, because those two together are just fun, and to hear them in a situation like that together. I know they do, you know, some of their personal podcasts together, but to be able to get them on and ask them some questions, and, you know, I might ask a little question or two that might get them going with each other. So to be able to have that and experience that with them, I think it'll be fun. I have a couple that I never got to do last season that I wanted to, which is Dude Man and Ace. Ace being my teammate not only in London, but now in Philadelphia. I've been trying to get him on for a little while. I'm hoping that we'll be able to work that out. And then the same thing with Dude Man. Dude Man came to me when I was trying to get some more people from Tijuana, which is really hard because of the way that they have their locker room set up. But Dude Man wanted to be a part of it, and I'm really hoping that we're able to get it set up to have him on this season. And then, of course, I mentioned it earlier, Boom. Whenever you're ready, man, let's get it going. We'll figure out a time, and we'll get it handled. And then as far as another new guest, being part of the media team now, Jay Cordesi said that he would be interested in coming on and doing an interview. So to have, that would be a totally new aspect to add to the podcast, somebody who's done some things around the league that I haven't, none of my guests have so far. So getting him on, I guess, would also be another one that I'd be looking forward to. So I'm hoping to make some of those happen this season. My next question comes to me from Painted. He says, who is my favorite podcast guest so far? You know, that's a really hard question, because the last season for my podcast was fantastic. The guests that I had on were amazing. I don't think I could have done any better with the people that I picked. I appreciate everybody that's come on. Of course, the users that I made friends with right out the gate in Minnesota, which, you know, Painted, Shrub, and Greg, you three are fantastic. Painted's now been on multiple times. I had the interview with him, and then we've done the Lion and the Loon series, which we are very overdue for episode 2. We just haven't been able to make it line up with our schedules. Having Shrub on again with the interview series, and then him and I doing the Football Head Awards. Hoping we can make that a yearly thing or a seasonal thing and kick that off again this next year. And then Greg, just had him on the last podcast, but we recorded that a while ago. Those were the three people that I made friends with, I guess, right out the gate in Minnesota. So having those guys on was great. Kotasa, having him on it's just easy. We have a natural way that we just kind of roll. This last time when he was on to talk about contracts, I mean, I didn't really have to do much editing to that segment at all. We started basically from the time I hit record and had him join the line till the time that we said goodbye. Nothing really cut out there. It's just a natural back and forth that we seem to have when we talk. So having him on or having somebody on like that's always fun. Kind of the same thing with Titan. I really enjoyed having Titan on. He's fun, and I'm hoping that we're able to get this little bit of a podcast segment going. Guess a little bit of a spoiler. We do have something in the works, so hopefully you'll be hearing that very soon. And then Quest. I really enjoyed my podcast with Quest. We had a little bit of a hard time getting set up due to the time zones, but once we did, it was great. I thought that was another one that just kind of rolled, where I had certain questions that I knew I wanted to get to, and we would get a little bit off subject or off track so far that at some point it was almost like, okay, you know, got to reset, get back on track to just at least make sure we got to some of the questions that I wanted to ask before the podcast was over. So those would be, and not to take away from anybody else that had been on, everybody I had on my podcast I really enjoyed. But those are, I guess, some of the ones that stuck out to me. Jew, I guess, would be another one to mention just right off the top of my head, because he carried his persona over to a point, and then his kind of hot take on the league, just with the way he kind of went after the sim. I found it hilarious, but It was also just different. His interview wasn't like anybody else that I had had on for the entire season, so definitely have to mention him here. The next question comes from Xavier Hawkins. He asked me, who do I think had the best media content that is not myself? Well, let's see. There's a lot of different media content. Graphic-wise, hands down, it's my boy Boom. There's some beautiful graphics in the league from some other people. But I got to stick to Boom. I love the work that he does. He's my boy from London. He's one of my favorites. We've had a little back and forth man crush thing going on. So obviously I'm not gonna give that to anybody else but Boom. As far as podcasts, I really enjoy listening to Jimmy and Joey. I know that they've done some things together, but they also both do independent stuff. They go into the background of the league, and I feel like, I know they say they don't do much editing or much changing to it, but I feel like there's at least some previous thought put into what they're going to talk about, and I could be 100% wrong, but I just don't feel like that's something where they're just blabbing to blab, and I'm not going to name any names, but I'm just certain things seem like people just get on to kind of just talk for an hour to get their pay, and certain things seem like people get on and actually care what it sounds like to the people listening. And I feel like the stuff that Jimmy and Joey talk about is fantastic. There are a few people who I can't call them new because I know I've seen some of their stuff, but since I've been listening to the podcast, some new names that are starting to pop up this season. So I'm looking forward to hearing a little more content from them. And then on written media, Xavier Hawkins's Netflix series, I thought was great. His draft day special that he did was fun. His first episode introducing himself. It's different. I don't know if it's been done around the league before. I haven't seen it since I've been here. It's creative and it's definitely a fun little spin. I like how he's writing all the different people into it. It's now inspired Dolphins to do a Netflix series. Kind of be fun to see how those two create their little rivalry going there. But just to see how that's progressing it's cool. I like the creativity that's gone into that and the fact that it's unique. And then Agent Tesla, just great written articles, game recaps, things like that. I think the league is better having somebody like Tesla that does that. So I've really enjoyed what I have seen. The next question comes to me from Jimmy64. He said, who are some of your favorite users in the league up to this point? It's another hard one. You know, it's the same users, I guess, that I've continued to mention through this whole podcast. Painted, Greg, and Shrub, my first three friends that I made when I was in Minnesota. They're just some of my favorite users. Like I said, they were the first three friends I made. We've had a lot of fun joking around in some of the servers. We've had a lot of fun in the counting server, running it up. Going to London, I've had a ton of fun with Boom, Pib, Katern, and Platt. There's some other people there too as well. Deadly as well. I don't know. We the joking around or the stuff that comes with being in the locker room together. Those three have made my time, or those three, there's definitely more than three there. Those guys have made my time in London fun, for the off the field stuff, just hanging out in the locker room. Then like I said, I mentioned Katasa earlier. We get along really well, so whenever I have the chance to talk to him, it's always fun. And then rolling into Philadelphia, like I mentioned, Jimmy and Joey multiple times, they're just fun to be around. And then I talked about Pat earlier as well. He's he's a great presence in that Philly locker room, and he's really fun to talk with. So I'm sure I'm missing people, and I'm sure I probably miss somebody who should be on this list that is going to take my head off when they hear this podcast. And if that is you, I 100% apologize for not having your name handy. But those are the people that I thought of off the top of my head that I really enjoy being around in the league. Next question comes to me from Crody Man. He asked me, is CC really a tyrant? Yes. 100% yes, he is. For those who are unsure, a tyrant is defined as a cruel and oppressive ruler. And from what I hear, that is exactly how CC handles everything in Chicago. So, no doubt to my mind, CC is the worst, the absolute worst. Can't wait for him to hear this. You're just the biggest tyrant in the league, CC. So, no, I kid with CC, but for real though, CC is actually probably another user that should have been on my list a minute ago. I enjoy all the chats that I've had with him. So being able to poke fun at him here with Crody's question was great. Painted asks me, why is Painted so much better than me? He's not. No elaboration needed there. Just a simple he's not, I guess, would suffice to answer the question. But I love Painted. He's like, I talked about him before. He's one of my favorite users in the league. I'm hoping that the next time around, we actually are able to play the same position. There's some joke there that we might have to do that once we, once our players hit regression and retire. He's a couple seasons ahead of me, so I guess it just depends on who retires first, but we'll see. If he doesn't pick a terrible position, I might have to just copy him so I can come for the top of the league at whatever position he plays and create what I think would be a fantastic rivalry between myself and Painted. The next question comes to me from Xavier Hawkins. He asked me, who is the best GM? Well, that's easy. That's Slattern or Slade and Catern. Those guys did great last season. That's why they won the DSFL GM of the Year award. They built a fantastic base of rookies for last season. Me being a part of that base, they created a atmosphere that made rookies want to come and was able to flip a team with a losing record right back around into a ultimate winning team. So that's very hard to overlook. Like I said, I mentioned my friendship that I've been able to start to develop with Kotasa. So what he does in Tijuana just always seems like they have something positive going there, at least from my time in the league. And he's very insightful. I've gotten a lot of knowledge from him. That last contract episode was, just kind of a little taste of, just the stuff that he has to offer. So I can only imagine what he brings to the table to his team in Tijuana is something similar to that. So I'd say he's probably a very good GM. And then, I can't make this list. I'm sticking to, obviously, DSFL GMs because I haven't had much experience with ISFL GMs at this point. But then I'd have to say Crody. I couldn't leave him off the list. There's just something to be said for what's going on over there. I think Minnesota is going to be one of the better teams this season. Could be totally wrong about that. But I think what they've built over there is great. They seem to have a nice active locker room. And having Old Man Painted out there on the field might be, it might hurt them a little bit, but I think they're still going to be okay this year. So adding Crody to that list. So Slate, Kotasa, Crody, Catern. I think those would be the best GMs, in my opinion, in the DSFL. Boom asks me, where does my username come from? My username comes from old band stuff, basically. Lucid dreams, or lucid dreaming, the ability to take control of your dreams. It was always a concept that I thought was interesting. So naming myself after the ability to control my own dreams is essentially where that username came from. Because what I was doing with the band, travel, you know, I got the chance to travel around the country a few times, opening up for national acts and doing some things that were really, really cool, that were an experience that a lot of people don't get to have. Playing certain festivals, I don't know, there was a lot of things that came along with it. So at a certain point, I just realized that, you know, I had reached a level that was more than I had initially dreamed about when I started playing music or playing in the band. You know, anybody that's ever played music, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one in the league that's played music or has played in a band, has probably had a certain level where they think they're going to get. And to be invited on tour by nationally touring bands and do some of that stuff, that it was something that I never expected to happen. So at a certain point, I just adapted the name Lucid Dreams, because at that point, it was exactly what I was doing. I was dreaming and I needed to take control of it. So that's where that came from. Wildfire Micro asks me, what is my favorite candy bar? I love a good Milky Way. I'm not big into candy. I like sweets when I do eat, like sweet tarts and things like that. But I'm not big into candy much. But if I did have to pick a candy bar, I guess it'd be Milky Way. Or if I want something a little different, I love Paydays. I didn't like them when I was younger. It's something that's grown on me over the past few years. Don't know why it took me so long to go back to them. I love peanuts. Paydays are just really tasty candy bar. Wildfire Micro also asked me, on that note, what is my favorite type of cake? Again, I'm not really a cake guy. Sorry to kind of kill these questions for Wildfire Micro. Just not a big cake guy. I was always more of an ice cream guy. So actually, at a certain point when I was younger, I just told my mom I didn't want cake. I just wanted ice cream. So that's what we started doing for my birthdays, with my mother and also with my grandparents. But if I guess I had to pick a type of cake, it'd be just regular old vanilla or confetti cake. Because ice cream cake, I guess, wouldn't really count for this, because while it is technically called a cake, it's not... I'm sure not what you were asking me when you mentioned what my favorite type of cake would be. Wildfire Micro asked me my next question as well. He said, what inspired me to play defensive end? Defensive end is what I played in real life. I started playing football in middle school, and it was the position that I was actually just kind of put at. Our coach had put us through a bunch of different drills and a bunch of different things. And by the end of the day, that's where they had put me. And I played that position up until probably my sophomore, junior-ish year. I believe that was the season when the switch really started to happen. I was too small. I didn't, you know, even now I'm like 5'10", 5'11". I'm not a very tall guy. I didn't have the size to continue playing the position. So eventually I was moved to basically a fullback. I was technically considered running back, but I lined up at a lot of fullback positions, did a lot of blocking, things like that. And I didn't get I wasn't the ball carrier. I wasn't the guy that was going to tote the rock for the team. I did get a few handoffs. Not saying I never touched the football, but I moved from defensive end over to playing basically an extra blocker on the field. But prior to that happening, I fell in love with that position. Something about playing on the edge, and when you beat your man and you get a straight line on the quarterback, I don't know, it's an adrenaline rush. Anybody that's played that position or even defense, I imagine, I've never played any other spot on the field on defense, but I imagine you get the same feeling when you're coming in for like an interception or just you're about to just light somebody up on the field on defense. Like when you beat your man and you're making that beeline to the quarterback, you get this rush. It's such an adrenaline rush. You just feel it. Especially if the quarterback does not see you coming and you just get that, just that perfect shot that you never know what can happen there. You get the chance to swat the ball out or just totally light somebody up. That is a feeling that I enjoy. So when I came over here, I figured why not create a defensive end, which was a position that I enjoyed playing. I did tell everybody that I wasn't sold on the position. I was more than willing to play whatever position my team needed me to play. I plan on recreating, so I'm not... I don't know. I want to play at a few different positions throughout my Sim League career. So whether I know now Philadelphia, I believe, has plans to keep me at DE, but that could change. But for now, it's just... You know, defensive end is one of the positions that I'd like to play throughout my time in the league, but it's definitely not my only one. So I gave teams a list of what I was open to playing, but that's why I picked a defensive end this time around. I kept it close to home with my favorite position for my first character. So I hope that gives you a little more insight into why I chose defensive end. The next question comes to me from Painted. Painted asked me, what was my favorite memory or play from the last season? That's another easy one for me. That came in the playoffs. That came in the conference championship against Portland when we were down 7-0. And Lucid Dreams broke free through the line, nailed the quarterback in a fashion like I was just talking about, causing a fumble. I had the strip sack fumble. My player picked up the football with the recovery and a touchdown to tie the game. That play couldn't have came at a better time, and I feel like it was really a big momentum, like, swing for the game. Prior to that, it seemed like Portland was, you know, probably going to bully us like what we had seen the last time we played them, you know, a few weeks prior. And I know there was a few other plays that got made, but I feel like right around that point was when things shifted and, you know, it looked like, you know, this was going to be London's game. So that was my favorite moment from the last season. Z Wiz asked me, what was my Alt Mini experience like and how did I watch it? And then he asked, did I celebrate? The Alta Mini was the first game that I actually pulled up on my living room television. I hooked it up, got it set up prior to the game. I get off work right before the game starts, so I rushed home to make sure I was here when the game started. I got it pulled up on my TV in my living room, and I treated it like an NFL Sunday. I got set up with my, you know, after work little snack. Sat down on my couch and got ready to enjoy the Super Bowl, basically. You know, I know it's only the Alta Mini, and it's a lot of people in the ISFL don't even care at all about the DSFL, but for me it was great. This was my first character ever, my first player ever, my first time around, so to go to the Alta Mini in my very first season was great, and I couldn't help myself. Maybe I took it a little too serious, but I don't know if there is such a thing. Everybody in the league tends to have fun with this and enjoy it and celebrate it. I know I've looked into, you know, getting some, I joked about it, but I've seriously looked into getting some London Alta Mini shirts, because we're just, you know, for the Alta Mini championship. But yeah, so I pulled it up on my living room TV, and I treated it just like it was a real-life NFL game. And I sat there and watched the whole thing in nervous anticipation to the very end. I probably sat on the edge of my seat up until 2-3 minutes left in the fourth quarter when I finally realized that at no point was there enough time for them to make their comeback. So it was an awesome experience, and I definitely celebrated that win. Wildfire Micro asked me, and this is my last question for the Q&A. He asked me, what is my ultimate goal in the league? Overall, my goal is just like everybody else's. I want to have fun. We're all here to be happy. We're all here to enjoy the league. And just have fun. I do this to get away. I love football. I love the game. I love the idea of this league and what it represents, and just the way that it gets people together in these chat rooms. And it's more than just about football. And that's what I think is fantastic. I know I talk about the experience in Philly, but, you know, I know Joey's talked about it on his podcast, so I hope he doesn't mind. But, you know, one of my first experiences over there, even, and I believe this was before draft, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it was right around draft time, but it was for Mother's Day. And just seeing the way that the locker room had rallied around Joey to give him tips and pointers for this dinner that he was making for his mom. And then the fact that Joey came on and took, you know, and told us later how much his mom really enjoyed the meal. Like, that's more than just football. That's more than just some sim league. Like, that's the people in the Philadelphia locker room helped him do something fantastic for his mother in real life that she really enjoyed. And that's, you know, that's a meaningful connection that you can build with people. That's something that I've loved about, like I said, doing my podcast, but that's something that I just love about some of the locker rooms in this league. When you can build that kind of relationship with people that you've never met, just by talking to them every day, and you have people who, you know, that's people that genuinely care about what's going on in your life. Like, I know not everybody's, you know, has that same involvement, but when you have people that do, that actually care, like, you know, they wanted, you know, there was people in the locker room that were, you know, excited to help out. They really wanted to help out with what was going on. And that goes so much, like I said, so much beyond what this, you know, league's basic surface intent is. So to be a part of that is just great. So, like I said, to have fun and to be a part of something like that. I want to get involved in all the war rooms. I want to be a GM in this league. That is my ultimate goal here. I want to be a GM. I want to help run a team and win some championships. I want to help people get hooked in like I did. It didn't take me long to realize that this league was something that I was going to absolutely love. So if I had it my way and I was able to help people out and help people get hooked like I did, that's what I want to do. And to be a part or build a culture that can do something like what the Philadelphia locker room has done and create that kind of a bond, to where you really do feel like, you know, like part of a family with people that you've never met. And that comes from, you know, the people in the locker room, that comes from the GMs doing their job and bringing in great personalities, people that they know are going to mesh well. That's something that I'd like to be able to do. So, my ultimate goal in this league would be to become GM and build the greatest atmosphere around, based off of what I've experienced with London and Philadelphia. So, thanks for hanging out with me. And if you guys are still around after an hour of me babbling, I definitely appreciate it. See you guys next week. That's it, guys. That's the show. Thanks for hanging out with me. And as always, I appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen. Special thanks to everyone who provided me a question. If you enjoyed the show, rate, follow, review, and join our world.